Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by SCORE.org and features Jim Chamberlain, who's joining us from the local chapter of SCORE, SCORE Orange County, which is also SCORE 114 for those of you who count. And we are very pleased to have Jim on the show today. We're going to talk about business financials and what's important about them and what you need to know as a business owner. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Pleasure to have you on. And, Jim, if you could, we always like to get to know our guests a little bit before we get into the meat of the matter here. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure, Bill. I started my career in New York, upstate New York. And after getting an MBA and my CMA, I dove right into the high-tech industry, electronics, semiconductors, moved out here through a division transfer, and then spent the next 25 to 30 years on various small to medium to even large-sized corporations, mainly in the controllership, the VP finance, and the CFO titles. Also spent a lot of time on volunteer organizations. I was past president of a couple of accounting organizations. I was a board member of a United Way organization in upstate New York. So I like doing both. I like helping small business people get into business and grow. And I also like helping to do a little bit of the volunteer work.
Well, and Jim, you're indicative of what I found out about this SCORE organization. It's a very large, over 300 chapters in the U.S. with over 12,000 volunteers, as I understand, all over the country. And for those of you who haven't listened, we've interviewed several SCORE mentors already, and you can find all of their content at exitcoachradio.com. There's a special folder set up for SCORE members. And Jim, what attracted you to work with SCORE?
It's the talent, Bill. SCORE chapter has over about 110 members in all walks of life, all industries. Almost expert in what they do, and I was attracted to the idea of meeting these people and also just helping small business. And SCORE's got a reach. I tell my clients it's one of the best kept secrets in Orange County, but it gives the small business owner and even medium to large size managers a little bit of extra help, and it's totally free.
Yeah, it is. It's an outstanding organization. If you haven't checked it out, especially if you're here in Orange County, check out scoreoc.org or check out score.org nationally. Jim, what are we going to talk about today? Business financials. Let's get right into it. How does a business or an entrepreneur measure success?
Good question, Bill. It's one of the first questions I ask my attendees at my various workshops. I get the usual answers, sales, helping customers, making people happy, just self-employment. And I say, those are all the wrong answers. There's only one answer for being in business, and that is to grow your business. So if you're adding value to your business, I consider that a success. Every decision you make, whether it's to lower your break-even points, make a major capital expenditure decision. It's if it adds value to your company, you are a success.
So adding value is what it's all about. Otherwise, you might as well just go get a job, right?
Absolutely.
Work for someone else who's because it's a special skill set. But a lot of people do think, you know, I'll be my own boss. I don't have to answer to anybody. I'll get to call my own shots. But those aren't the real reason of business is to someday grow value and sell a business behind it all at some point for most people, right?
That's correct. Then we talk about what are the ways of measuring this success, the value.
Right.
How do we measure that?
How do we?
And that's where I get into the financial area. You know, it basically breaks down to risk and reward. You're trying to maximize the reward. You're trying to minimize the risk. So business owners and managers, they need to concentrate on what makes the reward so high. And then we start talking about cash flow and profitability and earnings, but mainly cash flow. And then we start talking about the risk. I've got about 24 different questions about risk, financial risk, competitive risk, market risk. The goal of the entrepreneur, the goal of the manager is to try to mitigate those risks, get them down as much as you can so you're minimizing the risk, maximizing the reward, and again, reward defined as cash flow. Two or three ways we measure cash flow.
Let's talk about those. How do we measure cash flow, Jim?
Well, you know, there are three major financial statements, Bill, that we use. We have a balance sheet, which measures risk. If you put together a balance sheet and you show it to somebody, a banker or an investor, they can get a real good idea as to the financial risk, the liquidity risk, solvency. I can't measure performance off a balance sheet necessarily, but I can certainly stack up whether this business is a risky venture or not. The income statement or the P&L, that's what measures performance. Now I can tell how well you're selling and allocating resources. But the real statement, the one that's probably not as popular with small business owners especially, is the statement of cash flow. This is a statement that measures your operating cash flow, it measures your free cash flow, and we then talk about what's free cash flow and how much cash do you need to fund the business, how much working capital do you need. So it really boils down to those three financials, and if the business owner can stop and reflect on those, I will be a happy man.
Now, for the uninitiated out there who may be wondering, what does Jim mean by free cash flow? What can you tell us about that term?
Basically, Bill, it's the amount of cash you have after you've reinvested in working capital and fixed capital. Let's say you're a business that generates $10,000 a month in cash. That's cash after you buy stuff, sell stuff, cash you have left over. But it takes about $5,000 to reinvest so that company continues to grow, and whether it be working capital, you know, additional inventory, additional people, or whether it's fixed capital, like tenant improvements, machinery. After we subtract out those reinvestments, we're left with what we call free cash flow. And, you know, of course, free cash flow sounds good. It's free and we've got cash flow, but it's really cash that's unencumbered. And that's how we measure the success of a firm, and even we can use that to measure the value.
And it's up to the business owner to figure out what to do with that free cash flow as to what new investments or how they might use that money. It's their discretionary income to use at that point, right?
Exactly. You can buy another company. You can get into another operation. You can expand tremendously. It's a key performance measurement tool.
And that's really where business owners really need to meet with people and get an understanding. What should I be doing with my free cash flow? As time goes by, I need to really think about what investments I'm going to make. Now, Jim, how important is free cash flow at the end of a business cycle when somebody is saying, okay, I have free cash flow and I want to be attractive to a buyer at some point? Do buyers look at free cash flow?
Absolutely. Number one, a buyer is going to try to get to your basic cash flow, your cash flow after you buy and sell stuff. And then the buyer is going to also look at, well, how much cash does this business need to grow? Is it a labor-intensive, is it an investment-intensive type of a business? There's also something else to look at, and that's the risk. You could have a lot of cash flow, Bill, but if it doesn't compensate for the risk this business is taking, then it's not enough. So we have to couple the two together. We have to get an idea as to what kind of industry this business is playing in, the management structure, the growth rates, and then look at the cash flow to see, is that enough reward to compensate me for this risk? So the business owner, he needs to have a good understanding of where he stands in that risk-reward equation.
Excellent overview. We're talking with Jim Chamberlain, who's visiting with us from SCORE, Orange County. And we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and ask you to share some stories and tips and ideas for our listeners, Jim. So for those of you out there, we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com. the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at exitcoachradio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Are you a small business owner looking for help from experienced people who have been there and done that? You might not need to look any further than your local SCORE chapter. SCORE has been helping to grow successful small businesses across America, one business at a time since 1964. There are over 300 chapters nationwide, and you can find workshops, one-on-one mentoring, a wide variety of tools and resources. Why not contact your local SCORE chapter and find out what they have available for you? Find out more at www.score.org or in Orange County, California, contact scoreoc.org. That's scoreoc.org.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you will find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. I'm talking with Jim Chamberlain. He's visiting us from the local chapter of SCORE here in Orange County. And we've been talking about the importance of understanding your business financials and what some of them mean. And Jim, great comments about the difference between balance sheets and P&L and cash flow. Let's get into some client stories. What can you tell us about some of the SCORE members that maybe were confused, came to SCORE, and got some great information, and what was the outcome from that?
Yeah, Bill. Typically, I'll get clients. For example, I had a husband and wife team come in, and they've been in the restaurant business for about 20 years. Had a restaurant in Garden Grove. They're into SCORE because the business is up for sale. They want to retire. They've worked most of their careers, and they want to exit the business. They want to sell the business. Come to find out, there aren't any buyers out there. So we started talking about what they've done so far, and we started looking at their numbers, and come to find out they haven't really planned for that exit strategy that I encourage businesses to write down. They haven't prepared their financials. They haven't really. It's like selling a house. You know, you clean the woodwork, you paint the walls, you get it ready for sale. And many small business owners, they wake up on a Monday morning and they think, well, you know, it's time to sell. You can't do that. There's certain preparation. And if you do the right steps and you go through the process, you'll get more for the company than you would think you could. The other client story, it's really a group of clients. They don't write effective business plans. One of the things we do at SCORE, when you walk in, you talk to a SCORE member, the first question out of a SCORE's mouth is, tell me about your business. And that gives the client a good reason to pitch the business. But then they submit their business plan, and it's either 40 pages, 50 pages, it's boring, it's way too long. It doesn't knock the socks off the reader. So I go through the steps of how do you write a business plan? How do you put together a business plan that's going to really knock the socks off a banker or an investor or somebody you want to sell the business to? So the bottom line of that is we have to learn how to write an effective business plan with a good pitch and something that's going to explain to the reader of this business plan how they're going to add value and also something a little bit about the exit strategy.
So when someone... Great examples, by the way, great stories, and that's probably fairly typical of what people find all across the country when people walk in. When SCORE is an organization, you walk in, you tell people what your situation is, and there's all kinds of resources available. So in those two examples, we talked about, number one, preparing for an exit strategy. Now, an exit strategy, how far in advance do you think a business owner should start thinking about and preparing their exit strategy, Jim?
Day one. The minute he writes the business plan, he should start thinking about getting out of business. There should be a paragraph or two writing the executive summary about his thoughts in years 4, 5, and 6, what this business is going to be like, the value of the business, and who he's going to target, who are the strategic buyers maybe, or what he's thinking about just getting out. But he's got to start that process real early in the game.
That's an excellent thought. I mean, a lot of businesses just kind of are so excited about getting into the growth and the building of the business, they don't think about someday they will have to. What we tell people is someday you will exit your business voluntarily or otherwise. So you not only have to think about what will happen if you're able to become that strategic purchase target, but what if anything happens along the way, the business continuation? Of course, some people think about that with their buy-sell plans and things like that. So now in the second situation where they didn't have a business plan, what are the key headings that they should think about when they're writing a business plan?
Well, there are four major components of a good business plan. You got to have a really knock your socks off executive summary. You should also have a marketing plan. You should have a financial plan. You need an operating plan. All four should be very, very positive and tell the story about how this business is going to run and how this business is going to grow. Very, very important. And you do it in plain English, and you do it in 10, 15 pages max.
10, 15 pages. So each section shouldn't be a diatribe. It should just be basically a couple paragraphs maybe to get to the highlights? Or is it more of a summary of?
Probably a couple pages, Bill, for the marketing, a couple pages for the operating plan. You can have three financial statements, usually, your P&L, balance sheet, and statement of cash. Maybe a single page, maybe two. It depends on how complex the business is. Executive summary. And then you have all the backup papers, like maybe your resume, your net worth, your experience, and maybe some other economic assumptions. But basically, the meat of the business plan should be no more than 10, 12 pages. Anything more than that, Bill, and my eyes glaze over.
Right, right. And so from a pro forma standpoint, how many years out should they be showing?
Oh, you know, they're all estimates, and we usually tell the business owner, yeah, we know you're going to overstate the revenues, understate the cost, but it'd be nice to have 3-year projections for the. I'd like to see 3 years of a balance sheet, 3 years of an income statement, and cash flow.
I always tell people there's this what I call the 5-100 rule. Have you ever heard of that one? The 5-100 rule says it. Anything longer than 5 years is 100% wrong.
So. That's correct.
So I mean, do a lot of these business plans that you see that people walk in with have a horrendous overstatement of what they think? I mean, is there a rule of thumb when you look at something and say, okay, see that number? Divide it in half again. Now you're probably on target. Do you see a common overstatement of revenues, understatement of expenses that, from your experience, that you can share?
Typically, I see a hockey stick projection, and we all know what a hockey stick looks like. It starts out slow, then all of a sudden, bang, it's growing 30-40% a year for the next 5 years. And we all know that's not going to happen. Your growth rate really looks like an EKG. It goes up, down a little bit, but it's trending upward, but it doesn't go in a straight 45-degree growth path. And that's a red flag to a reader of your financial statements. That'll just cause me to dig into the other economic assumptions and look at your margins, your cost assumptions. And the more you make me work, Bill, the more I have to recast these numbers and calculate numbers, the less attractive this business plan becomes.
Does it help when someone does a brief notes to kind of justify why they see certain spikes or things like that in their pro forma, for instance?
Yes, it'd be nice to have maybe an upside paragraph.
So it doesn't have to be explained verbally. You can just say, okay, oh, here's a note here. Why do we think there's going to be a big spike in year two?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, could you share a few tips for our listeners, Jim?
Sure. Sometimes I tell people, don't write a business plan. It's a waste of time. And maybe all they need is a marketing plan. They're a consultant. They want to get their name out there. Okay, forget about the business plan. We don't need 3-year projections. We just need to find a way to get your name out there. And sometimes, many times, the person writing the business plan isn't ready yet. They don't have all the information. They haven't done the research. They haven't talked to their competition. So I tell them to, okay, you want to write a business plan, slow down here for a minute. But once you are ready, then I say we got to go real fast, 2 weeks to prepare a business plan. And then number two, Bill, I say you're the entrepreneur. You have to take the time to learn how to read your balance sheet, know what an income statement is, and know what goes into a statement of cash. I don't I don't expect you to do the debits and credits, but you at least have to know how to read a balance sheet, know what the red flags are, know when you're getting into trouble. Think about your exit strategy. Always refresh it. And lastly, focus on cash flow. Too many entrepreneurs focus on profits, earnings, margins. And for a small business, that doesn't mean much. Cash flow is the real winner here, Bill.
Great tips. Thanks very much. And you have a couple upcoming events coming up, Jim, I understand.
Yeah, Bill, you know, I put together four workshops for SCORE. I put together a business plan workshop, an accounting basics workshop, demystifying financial statements, where we talk about in plain English how to read these financials and how to determine a value of your company, how to buy a company, how to sell a company. But on May 8th, I'm doing the business plan workshop at the Fullerton Library from 6 to 9. Then on May 27th, I'm giving the buy-sell valuation workshop at National University from 9 to 12. So check the website for my other workshops. I'd be very happy to see people there.
And that website is score114.org, correct?
That's correct, Bill.
So score the number 114.org. And what's your email address?
From there, they can link it to workshops and get a whole schedule. My email address is james.chamberlain@score114.org.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming in and talking with us. I've been very impressed with the caliber of folks that have come over from SCORE, and it's just a great organization. So any of you out there that are wondering what it's all about, check out score114.org. You can also go to SCOREOC for Orange County. .org, or you can check for the national site if you're not in Southern California, score.org, and find a local chapter and find out what it's all about. Jim, thanks very much for joining
me
today.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I've been talking with Jim Chamberlain from the local chapter of SCORE, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com. The information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.